الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد. أما بعد, the discussion continues in regards to the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we should make it a habit, and perhaps you guys can remind me for future reference to begin the class by stating the date, because that would make it easier for me later to file these many audio files, which often cause confusion, at least as far as I'm concerned. So let's try it for today. Today is the 29th of Muharram, 1433, which corresponds to the 24th of December, 2011. Yeah, tonight is a special night for some deviant, misguided people, many on earth. And so, we will discuss some of that later, inshallah ta'ala, because things have been really hot. In case you don't know, but they're getting really, really boiled, actually. So in regards to the Sahaba, this should be the 7th or 8th session, if my memory serves me well, in terms of the Sahaba. Where we stopped was the statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, قَوْلُهُ وَطَرِيقَةُ النَّوَاصِبِ الَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ بِقَوْلٍ أَوْ عَمَلٍ. Meaning Ahl al-Sunnah al-Jama'ah also declare their innocence and their lack of affiliation with the way of the Nawasib, who harm the household of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, be it verbally or in action. يعني يتبرأ أهل السنة والجماعة من طريقة النواصب. We then declared our innocence from their methodology. وعليكم السلام. وهؤلاء على عكس الروافد. Now these are in opposition or the opposite of the Rawafid. So the Rawafid, الذين يغلون في أهل البيت. The Rawafid, they actually go to extremes in terms of the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. حتى يخرجوهم عن طور البشرية إلى طور العصمة والولاية. The Rawafid go to extremes in that regard until they make the family of the Prophet عليه السلام something which is beyond mere humans. They're beyond mere humans. Until the level of al-ismah wal-wilaya. Now it will be very interesting to see which one of you successful brothers, inshallah, can translate the word ismah. Wa alaykum salam. No. Ismah. Ma'soom. Not ma'soob. Okay, in case you haven't had dinner, please, brothers. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Isma is infallibility. What does that mean in English? Now, thank you for that answer. Now, who can explain or define in the English language what infallibility is? When you say something is infallible.
Something which could never be wrong.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Someone or something.
Okay, so being free from error.
Free from error.
No mistakes. No possible mistakes committed or done. And so when we say isma or isma, meaning they're infallible, as in they are perfect. And we know that everything besides Allah Azza wa Jal is imperfect, because it needs Allah. And once it needs Allah, that's the first sign of imperfection. Anyways, wal-wilaya, and that they have this kind of leadership and authority and sovereignty over the rest of the people. They're the awliya of Allah, even though some of the people they claim are awliya have nothing to do with wilaya. Amma an-nawasib, as for the nawasib, faqabalu al-bid'a bi-bid'a. It's very common nowadays. They wanted to fight an innovation with an innovation. That's like someone trying to fight off some magic with magic. People ask this until today. Can I use magic to get rid of that magic? Well, what have you done, yani? You've fallen into the same trap. So you didn't really do anything. So they say, you know, it doesn't fix it. Can't fix something wrong with another wrong. فَلَمَّا رَأَوُ الرَّافِضَ يَغْلُونَ فِي أَلِ الْبَيْتِ. When these people saw that the Rafida are going to extremes in regards to the Ahl al-Bayt, قَالُوا إِذَا نُبْغِضُ أَلِ الْبَيْتِ وَنَسُبُّهُمْ. So then we will hate them and curse them. مُقَابَلَ لِهَؤُلَاءِ فِي الْغُلُوِ فِي مَحَبَّتِهِمْ وَثَنَاءِ عَلَيْهِمْ. So we will, we'll be in opposition with those people in terms of who are extreme in loving them and praising them. We will be extreme in hating them and cursing them. وَدَائِمًا يَكُونُ الْوَسَطُ هُوَ خَيْرُ الْأُمُورِ. And always and forever, being in that middle course is the best of affairs. Can anyone quote an ayah from the Book of Allah which supports this ideology? Okay, nice attempt, brother, but you failed. Something else, guys? Come on. Told you guys, you can't be given da'wah like this, man. Can't be given da'wah with no evidence. Especially those of you who have the Quran memorized. You should be able to pick these out of your brain in no time. An ayah in reference to this middle way being the ideal way. Ya Sheikh, Shu'aib. Khaf Allah fi nafsik ya Shu'aib. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. Such we have made you a middle nation. A nation which travels in the middle way. Meaning you don't go to extremes, right? Just like that. So Allah clearly said, our ummah is wasat between the Christians who made everything halal and the Jews who made everything pretty much haram. Between the extremism of the Jews and the lenience of the Christians, we are wasat. Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah are wasat between all the groups. Qadariya, Jabariya, Khawarij, Mu'tazila, Rawafid, Nawasib. We're always in the middle. But that's the best thing. You want to be on that middle path, because that is the only straight path. Everything else will take you somewhere else. That's a nice one. Everything else will take you somewhere else. We're going to use this in the future, inshallah. طيب. وَمُقَابَلَةِ الْبِدْعَةِ بِبِدْعَةِ لَا تَزِيدُ الْبِدْعَةِ إِلَّا قُوَّةِ. Actually, if you're trying to fight off an innovation within another innovation, all you have done is strengthen innovation. You've given it more power and more support. So that is not a practical solution. قَوْلُهُ وَيُمْسِكُونَ عَمَّا شَجَرَ بَيْنَ الصَّحَابَةِ. Here we come to the very delicate issues. They withhold, they refrain from speaking about the infighting that happened among the Sahaba. The disputes, the inner disputes, the internal conflicts. How about that? Internal conflicts. يعني عما وقع بينهم من النزاع. Meaning in regards to some of the conflicts and some of the differences which occurred between them, we keep our mouths closed. فالصحابة رضي الله عنهم وقعت بينهم بعد مقتل عمر بن الخطاب نزاعات واشتد الأمر بعد مقتل عثمان فوقع بينهم ما وقع مما أدى إلى القتال. The Sahaba actually differed amongst themselves after the killing or the murder of Umar رضي الله عنه. Who was murdered by who? أبو لؤلؤة المجوسي. Yeah. This guy was a Majus from the Magians, okay, fire worshippers. But the Rafida, they were so delighted by his action that they actually celebrate his birthday and they have a special day to commemorate, you know, Abu Lu'lu al Majusi because he killed Umar. So now the enemy of Allah became their best friend just because he killed Umar. That tells you a little bit about them. Yep. Don't believe me. Check out their books. طيب. And then, so their differences occurred. And the matter became more severe, or actually severer, after the death of, or the killing of Uthman. So all kinds of things happened between them, which led to actual fighting. طيب. وَهَذِهِ الْقَضَايَا مَشْهُورَ. Now this is the beautiful position of Ahlul Sunnah Al-Jama'ah. We don't play games, we don't hide, and we're not afraid of anything. We say it to the opposition right in their face. If they don't like it, that's their business. But we're not going to hide anything or lie. These stories or these facts are famous. Everybody knows them. It's not like we pretend that they didn't happen. Say, no, you're lying. No, we know. We're the first to tell you that these things actually happen. Because they're famous. They're famous. بلا شك, without a doubt. عن تأويل واجتهاد. وقد وقعت بلا شك عن تأويل واجتهاد. However, we have no doubt that these issues did occur after the Sahaba themselves had interpreted, يعني based on their own interpretation and exerting their knowledge. In other words, each one of them was seeking Allah's pleasure. It wasn't after the dunya, it wasn't after some mundane, worldly, lowly things. It was they were thinking that they are fulfilling the objectives of the Sharia. And because they're all qualified, all of them are scholars in this regard, they are the Sahaba of the Prophet ﷺ, so they were entitled to such ijtihad. And each one will be treated according to his what? His what? Each one will be his niyyah. His niyyah, jama'at al-khair, his intention. The intention is what makes a difference. كُلُّ مِنْهُمْ يَظُنَّ أَنَّهُ عَلَى حَقٍّ. Each one of them thought he was upon the truth. وَلَا يُمْكِنْ أَن نَقُولْ إِنَّ عَائِشَ وَالزُّبَيْرِ بْنِ عَوَّامْ قَاتَلَا عَلِيًّا أَجْمَعِينَ وَهُمْ يَعْتَقِدُونَ أَنَّهُمْ عَلَى بَاطِلُ وَأَنَّ عَلِيًّا عَلَى حَقٍّ. It is impossible, inconceivable that Aisha and Zubayr ibn Awam would actually fight against Ali while knowing that they're upon falsehood and Ali is in the true position. It's impossible. Because these people are beyond that. They are beyond, above and beyond this kind of things. But they thought in their mind that this is what was good. They were thinking that they're actually supporting the sunnah and what would be pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Ali also the same thing. So now each one of them is doing ijtihad. And now this is not new. The actual sahaba differed in this regard. Even at the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam, you would often find difference between Umar and Abu Bakr, even though they're the best of this ummah in many different issues. And often the revelation would come in agreement with Umar, like the hijab and like the war captives. All these were Umar opinions endorsed by Allah Azza wa Jalla himself through revelation after Umar's opinion. Even though at times the Prophet ﷺ was with Abu Bakr, Umar's position would be favored at the end. So this is something which we have to understand. Yani that difference occurred when he told the Sahaba to not to pray Asr until they get to Bani Qurayza. Some of them prayed on the way and some of them waited until they got there. The issues of ijtihad. And all of them are rewarded because of their niyyah. It was a matter of ijtihad. وَاَعْتِقَادُهُمْ أَنَّهُمْ عَلَى حَقٍّ لَا يَسْتَلْزِمْ أَنْ يَكُونُوا قَدْ أَصَابُوا الْحَقِّ. Now here's an important comment. When one assumes he's upon the truth, does that necessitate that he is upon the truth? No. You may think you have the right position when you don't. That's a given. So the fact that they thought so does not mean that that was the case, because one of them has to be wrong at the end of the day. And this is another issue. Some people say everyone is right. All the imams were right. Even though there are four different positions among the four imams, but they were all right in regards to this one issue. That's impossible. Only one of them has to be right. The other ones are rewarded for their niyyah, but it couldn't be two truths. There's only one truth. Like, I cannot say you're standing and sitting at the same time. If I say you're standing while you're sitting, it's not the truth, or vice versa. Khalas, one thing can be correct at one point in time. Nothing beyond that. طيب. ولكن إذا كانوا مخطئين. However, if they were mistaken in this fatwa of theirs, in this ijtihad, ونحن نعلم أنهم لن يقدموا على هذا الأمر إلا عن اجتهاد. If they were mistaken, and we know that they would not even proceed, they would not even approach this matter had they not already done ijtihad in their own, according to their own abilities. فَإِنَّهُ ثَبَتَ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنْ إِذَا حَكَمَ الْحَاكِمُ فَاجْتَهَدَ ثُمَّ أَصَابَ فَلَهُ أَجْرًا وَإِذَا حَكَمَ فَاجْتَهَدَ ثُمَّ أَخْطَأَ فَلَهُ أَجْرٌ. It has been confirmed from the Prophet ﷺ that he said, when the judge judges, or the one who's making a ruling rules, and he does his ijtihad, and he gets it right, he will get two rewards, and if he does the judgment, and he gets it wrong, he gets one reward. That's the beauty of it. So even when they made a mistake, they were still rewarded by Allah Azza wa Jal. فَنَقُولْ هُمْ مُخْطِئُونَ مُجْتَهِدُونَ فَلَهُمْ أَجْرٌ وَاحِدٌ. We say they are erroneous. They were wrong in this position, but based on ijtihad, so they still have the ajr. Try not to, when I ask you a question, answer with a verbal sound. Otherwise, don't make sounds, different sounds, because I get easily distracted. And actually, somebody in the lecture told me, can you tell the cameraman to stop, finishing your sentences and repeating or finishing words or making sounds? I said, it is not the cameraman. It is not the cameraman. The poor cameraman, he turns on the camera and he moves away. But I think it reached even the viewers on YouTube. It's kind of distracting. So pay attention to that. Barakallahu feekum. فهذا الذي حصل موقفنا نحن منه له جهتان. This what happened, in regards to what happened, our position is in of two kinds. الجهة الأولى الحكم على الفاعل. First is the judgment on the doer. والجهة الثانية موقفنا من الفاعل. And then our position, our opinion in regards to the doer. يعني what is the ruling on in regards to what he did, and then what is our opinion in regards to that as well. أما الحكم على الفاعل. As for the judgment on the doer, فقد سبق. It has already preceded. And وأن ما ندين الله به أن ما جرى بينهم فهو صادر عن اجتهاد. That what we consider and or what we will be recompensed by Allah for, what we believe is firmly correct, is that what happened from them is ijtihad. Is ijtihad. والاجتهاد إذا وقع فيه الخطأ فصاحبه معذور مغفور له. The ijtihad, if the doer falls into error, then he is excused and forgiven. ما في مشكلة. يعني you have to understand, the scholars, the ulama, the biggest ulama, even if he brings an outlandish fatwa, an outlandish fatwa, but he didn't do it out of chasing his desires and following his whims. He did it because he truly believed this was correct. Allah will give him the ajr of that grave error. Even if it's a grave error, he will still get the ajr. Now we as Muslims, if we have identified this as a position that is unacceptable, we don't have the right to follow that position. And we can say that this is a terrible position, but his reward is still with Allah. Because when he did this, he was truly, sincerely seeking to guide the people to the sunnah. Very important thing to understand. So we will not assume bad about the scholars. وَأَمَّا مَوْقِفُنَا مِنَ الْفَاعِلِ فَالْوَاجِبُ عَلَيْنَا الْإِمْسَاكُ عَمَّا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. As for our position in regards to the doer, what is obligatory upon us is to hold, to withhold and not to speak about what happened in terms of disputes. فلماذا نتخذ من فعل هؤلاء مجالا للسب والشتم والوقيع فيهم والبغضاء بيننا. Why should we use this as an excuse to open the door for profanity and for cursing and for, you know, defaming and for causing hatred amongst them. ونحن في فعل هذا إما آثمون وإما سالمون. And if we were to do this, even if we were to do this, we are in one of two positions. Either we are sinful or we are not. But there's a possibility that you are sinful. وَلَسْنَا غَانِمِينَ أَبَدًا. But we will never be successful. يعني, let's assume that there was a benefit from behind, or that it was okay to speak about them. Will you gain anything? No. You may either not be gaining anything, you're free from sin because you have a legitimate reason, or you are sinful because you're speaking about things that you're not supposed to speak about because they are excused by Allah. And we already dealt with the ayat in the narration about Allah being pleased with them, about the Prophet ﷺ said he will not enter the hellfire anyone who gave bay'ah under the tree, and all these narrations. What are you going to do with these evidences then if you're going to pick in on the Sahaba in this regard? So it doesn't make any sense. فالواجب علينا تجاه هذه الأمور أن نسكت عما جرى بين الصحابة. What is incumbent on us in regards to these matters is that we remain silent about what happened between the companions. وأن لا نطالع الأخبار أو التاريخ في هذه الأمور. And don't go fetching in the news and history in regards to these issues إلا المراجعة للضرورة. Except if you have to review for necessity. Because it seems in Pakistan there's this huge fascination with Yazid and Yazid. Every other day I get an email about Yazid, people cursing Yazid, their problem with Yazid. Khalas, leave these things alone, ya akhi. You have the Quran and the Sunnah and you know how to go to Jannah. What do you want? Go opening up all discussions that will benefit you in nothing. Really? They differed. End of story, their affair is with Allah. Now you don't go digging in the past. Because there's absolutely no benefit behind it except causing fitna. This is from the tricks of the shaitan. Khalas, let it go. It's not going to affect you now. It's not going to affect you now. Unless you're a scholar who needs to refer to these matters to address them and explain to the people, yes. But the average person shouldn't be going reading what happened. Because at the end of the day, history may not be accurate. You have to understand many historical, not even facts, fallacies were made to be facts by people that are not Muslims deliberately to ruin Islam from within. So they fabricated stories attributed to the Sahaba. The Shia fabricated stories attributed to the Sahaba. When you read something, you can't confirm that this is a fact or a lie. So there's no benefit behind it. But most people don't understand. قَوْلُ وَيَقُولُونَ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَعَةِ say, إِنَّ هَذِهِ الْآثَارِ الْمَرْوِيَّةِ فِي مَسَاوِيهِمْ منها ما هو كذب, just like we said, ومنها ما قد زيد فيه ونقص وغير عن وجهه الصريح. In regards to these narrations which are narrated about their errors, some of which are lies, And some of which they've had additions, they've inserted information, and others they've removed, omitted information. And some of them, they were basically misinterpreted and explained in a manner which contradicts the actual context. قسم المؤلف رحمه الله الآثار المروية في مساويهم ثلاثة أقسام. The author then categorized these things which are attributed to them to three categories. منها ما هو كذب محض لم يقع منهم. Some of them are blatant lies that never happened. That never happened to the Sahaba. وهذا يوجد كثيرا فيما يرويه النواصب في أهل البيت وما يرويه الروافض في غير أهل البيت. This is abundant in what the Nawasib narrate about the household of the Prophet ﷺ because they hate them, and what the Rawafid narrate in other than Ahlul Bayt, like the Sahaba, in terms of cursing them. So the Rawafid invented stories to undermine Abu Bakr and Umar, like the one where they say that, which we quoted in the lecture, that Ali came and Umar told him, share with me the Quran, your version of the Quran. And he said, never, I'm never going to show it to you. I've only established it. Lies, you know, just lies, trying to create lies. The Rawafid do this freely. They have a copyright to lie as much as they want, and then they have the nerve to send emails to me and say, threatening me, by the way. I've already been threatened, FYI, for the Shia lecture by some Shia lady from the UK. Huh? She has the nerve. She says, I'm warning you, and you know, you will pay for the consequence of your sin unless you remove the video. You've lied, and this and that. I said, lady, you crazy maniac, I'm quoting their own books. What am I lying about? You go read these books. Everything I said, it's found in the book of this Shi'i Sheikh and on this page. I'm quoting your references. So how am I lying against the Shia when the stuff is from you? Tell me, are you a Shia? She doesn't want to answer. It doesn't matter, but you're dividing the Ummah. No. Dividing the Ummah by telling them to be careful of the Shia who have been killing us for Allah knows how many years. Please. Yani, if it was any other group, I would understand. Any other group, I would understand their feeling. But the Shia? Come on, man. This is common knowledge to everyone. That these are not individuals which you treat as part of the Ummah who are helping us prosper. They're working against us. Look at Iran and Saudi now. Don't have to go far, man. They're having major political conflicts now. With the Saudi ambassador attempted to assassinate him in the States. The Iranians. These people are playing games, man. They're not some serious people. But they will threaten you. And they have done a lot of harm, by the way, to the people of Da'wah in the past. This is known. So they lie. They lie freely and they don't have a problem, and they claim that we are this and we are that, and Allah knows they're a bunch of nothings. وَمِنَّا شَيْءٌ لَهُ أَصْلٌ. Some of these actual events have an أصل. Yani there's a reality behind it. لَكِنْ زِيدَ فِيهِ وَنُقِّصْ أَوْ وَنَقْغَيْرَ وَغِيْرَ عَنْ وَجِهِ. However, this, yani, for example, okay, I go to the grocery store, to the bagala, okay, and I see someone buying a pack of cigarettes. And I say to him, my brother, you know, this is not good for you. So, you know, you should stop smoking. And I leave. Someone who's there, he will go out and say, Abu Mus'ab saw someone smoking in the place, and he took the cigarette out of his mouth and he threw it on the floor and he punched him. And so then they increase. So by the time the story makes it to the news, it's already something way different than what happened. You see, everybody will spice it up a little bit, put in his 2 cents. Make it more dramatic, you know? It's not really dramatic enough. Put some suspense, Alfred Hitchcock stuff. So they will add things to it to make it, and this happens all the time. So they, even though some conflict may have happened among the Sahaba, now they will spice it up with information and additions which actually didn't exist. Like Umar going to Fatima and hitting her and breaking her rib and all kinds of, and she had a miscarriage. Nonsense, man. Nonsense that no one would even conceive in their minds. But they fabricate these lies. So they find a story that has some truth to it, but then they put all kinds of additions and deletions to make it look bad. These two kinds of stories you have to reject. These two kinds of narrations. والقسم الثالث ما هو صحيح فماذا نقول فيه. The third category is that which is factual. Yani event that true facts, true incidents that actually happened among the Sahaba. Then what do we say in regards to that? بينه المؤلف. The مؤلف explained it. والصحيح منه هم فيه معذورون. And the correct position is that they are excused. إِمَّا مُشْتَهِدُونَ مُصِيبُونَ Either ones who are exerting their knowledge and then they have acquired the correct position, they actually got it right. وَإِمَّا مُشْتَهِدُونَ مُخْطِئُونَ Or they have exerted themselves but they made an error. Either way, they are مُشْتَهِدُونَ Which means they will have the ajr. Now the issue is whether they will get double reward for being right or one reward for being wrong. But either way, with Allah they are rewarded. Because Allah decreed that this will happen. You have to understand, this also has been prophesied. Some people think that, you know, how could this be? But these are the Sahaba. The Prophet ﷺ made dua to Allah. Many of ad'iyah, to which Allah accepted all, except one, that this ummah does not wind up differing amongst each other, that wasn't granted. It's the wisdom of Allah that this ummah will divide into 73 sects, that the differing will begin at the time of the Sahaba. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ told them, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ فَسَيَرَ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا If you, those Sahaba, if you live longer, you shall see a lot of difference, a lot of changes. So he already warned them, and he actually said that this man will be killed by the Fi al-Baghi, as we will see. About his grandchildren. He said, he already told Uthman, you will die in this, you will die as a shaheed. When they got on the mountain of Uhud, he said, be calm, Uhud. Be calm, upon you are a prophet, a siddiq, and two martyrs. Yani, this was already known to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam because Allah told him. So it's not like we say, how could, that's the decree of Allah. So we can be tested in that. They can be tested, we can be tested, because what's the ultimate destination? Jannah. So even whatever you go through in this life of the fitna that you go through, if you go to Jannah, khalas. If the Sahaba are going to wind up in Jannah, big deal what happened between them. What is important is that they go to Jannah and the kuffar go to Jahannam. So let the kuffar complain all they want about what happened in terms of the infighting among the Muslims. We say, but at the end of the day, قَتْلَانَا فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَقَتْلَاكُمْ فِي النَّارِ The deceased amongst us are in paradise and the deceased among the kuffar are in the hellfire. So that is the conclusion, the bottom line. Be very confident in regards to that. وَالْمُجْتَهِدُ إِنْ أَصَابَ لَهُ أَجْرًا As we said, the mujtahid, if he gets it right, he gets two reward. وَإِنْ أَخْطَفَ لَهُ أَجْرٌ وَاحِدٍ If he's mistaken, he has one reward. لِقَوْلِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِذَا حَكَمَ الْحَاكِمُ فَاجْتَهَدَ ثُمَّ أَصَابَ فَلَهُ أَجْرًا وَإِذَا حَكَمَ فَاجْتَهَدَ ثُمَّ أَخْطَأَ فَلَهُ أَجْرٌ The same hadith, I won't repeat the translation. فَمَا جَرَى بَيْنَ مُعَاوِيَةَ وَعَلِيِّ رضي الله عنهما صادر عن اجتهاد وتأويل The conflict which arose between Muawiyah and Ali رضي الله عنهما is based on اجتهاد and تأويل interpretation as in they were interpreting the stance and the correct behavior what should be done the تأويل of the matter يعني where he assumes something even though it may not be the right thing. Something which is not in agreement with the fact sometimes. لكن لا شك أن عليا أقرب إلى الصواب فيه من معاوية. However, we say, there is no doubt that Ali was closer to the truth in this regard than Muawiyah. Huh? Ali was closer to the truth than Muawiyah. بل قد نكاد نجزم بصوابه. Rather, we can almost be conclusive that he was in the right position, that the haq was with who? Not to undermine Muawiyah, because he was doing his ijtihad. But when we evaluate the situation, we can also tell who was the actual one with the truth. إِلَّا أَنَّ مُعَاوِيَةَ كَانَ مُجْتَهِدًا But Muawiyah was one who was doing ijtihad, رحمه الله ورضي الله عنه وأرضاه. وَيَدُلُّ عَلَى أَنَّ عَلِيًّا أَقْرَبَ إِلَى الصَّوَابِ أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ قَالْ وَيْحَ عَمَّارٍ تَقْتُلُهُ الْفِئَةُ الْبَاغِيَةِ The Prophet, and what leads us to think that Ali was closer to the correct position is the statement of the Prophet عَلَيْهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَيْحَ عَمَّارٍ يعني woe to be to Ammar, he will be killed by the transgressing group. He will be killed by the transgressing group. He's already telling them that this conflict will come, subhanAllah. فَكَانَ الَّذِي قَتَلَهُ أَصْحَابُ مُعَاوِيَةَ Who killed Ammar? The companions of Muawiyah. Which the Prophet ﷺ called them what? الْفِئَةُ الْبَغْيَةَ They were the transgressor in this regard. This is only to describe the transgression in terms of the other team. Not they were transgressors in their life. They weren't transgressors against the limitations of Allah. Because the Prophet ﷺ spoke very good of Muawiyah and he praised him in many narrations. But in terms of this conflict, they were the transgressors. You see what I'm saying? Jameel. وَبِهَذَا عَرِفْنَا أَنَّ فِيَةٌ بَغْيَ خَارِجَ عَلَى الْإِمَامِ. So we know through this that they are the transgressing group which went against the leader. لَكِنَّهُمْ مُتَأْوِلُونَ. But they did not intend that. They were doing ta'wil of the situation, thought that the truth was on their side. وَالصَّوَابُ مَا عَلِي إِمَّا قَطْعًا وَإِمَّا ظَنًا. But the truth is with Ali, either conclusively or most probably. أيوه. وَهُنَاكَ قِسْمٌ رَابِعٌ. There's a fourth type. وهو ما وقع منهم من سيئات حصلت لا عن اجتهاد ولا عن تأويل. Which is errors actually, or sins or mistakes that happened from the Sahaba, but they were not based on اجتهاد nor on تأويل. Because we said earlier, the mistakes which were based on اجتهاد and تأويل, خلاص, no problem. But what about the things which happened which were not based on اجتهاد and تأويل? فبينه المؤلف رحمه الله بقوله. The author explained that رحمه الله by saying, وهم ذلك لا يعتقدون أن كل واحد من الصحابة معصوم عن كبائر الإثم وصغائره. الله أكبر. Yet with that, أهل السنة والجماعة do not believe, do not have this اعتقاد, that the Sahaba were infallible from committing major sins or minor sins. We don't believe that they have this عصمة. So even if they were to fall into a minor or major sin, that is part of our belief that this is possible. And we know that among the Sahaba were those who committed zina and they were stoned to death. You all know the hadith. They were forgiven because of that. But nevertheless, we know that such actual sins were committed by the Sahaba. So we don't believe the infallibility. So there's no issue there. لا يعتقدون ذلك. We don't believe that. Why? لقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Because the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, what did he say? Who can narrate a hadith who doesn't have the book, which can prove that anyone, any human being is not infallible? Who can quote a hadith? Not the one with the book. Did you read it from the book, ya Shu'aib?
No.
How about you, brother? You got it from your brain? May Allah bless that brain. Alhamdulillah. I'm happy when someone gives me an evidence which is on point when we demand one. The hadith, every son of Adam is sinful, as in not born sinful, but is prone to sin. وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّبُونَ. However, the best of those who are sinful are those who repent to Allah. So, كُلُّ ابْنِ Adam, every son of Adam is then prone to sin. ولكن العصمة في إجماعهم. Where is the infallibility? The infallibility is in their consensus. Individually, they had the potential to fall into major or minor sins. But as a whole, they were infallible. It is impossible that they will all agree to something which is incorrect. See how beautiful that is. They would never agree as a whole to something which was false. But individually, they may fall into some of these errors. فَلَا يُمْكِنَ أَنْ يُجْمِعُوا عَلَى شَيْءٍ مِنْ كَبَائِرِ الذُّنُوبِ وَصَغَائِرِهَا فَيَسْتَحِلُّوهَا وَيَفْعَلُوهَا. It is impossible that they will all agree in regards to one of the major sins or the small sins, and they make it halal, or that they will do it, they will all do it. It's impossible. Not as a group, but as individuals. لَكِنَّ الْوَاحِدَ مِنْهُمْ قَدْ يَفْعَلْ شَيْءٍ مِنَ الْكَبَائِرِ. One of them may fall into some major sins. كَمَا حَصَلَ مِنْ مِصْطَحِ بْنِ أُثَاثَ. Like what happened with Mistah, رضي الله عنه ابن أثاثة, وحسان ابن ثابت, and حسان ابن ثابت, وحمنا بن جحش في قصة الإفك. In the story of the slander and the lie against Aisha رضي الله عنها, some of the Sahaba actually started circulating the information that Aisha fell into that. And remember, he was a relative of Abu Bakr, Mistah. And then Abu Bakr said, I will not give him any more allowance until Allah revealed the ayah, you know. Do you not want Allah to pardon you and forgive you? And he said, yes. You all know the ayah and this story. But there you go. They accuse Aisha of, that's a major sin. They fell into that. وَلَكِنْ هَذَا الَّذِي حَصَلْ تَطَهَرُوا مِنْهُ بِإِقَامَةِ الْحَدِّ عَلَيْهِمْ. That what happened to them, they were purified of it by the actual, the punishment being done against them, being applied against them, executed against them. قوله بل يجوز عليهم الذنوب في الجملة. Rather, we say that sins are possible for them. Generally speaking, they're all, you know, they have the there's a probability that they will commit sin. They all have the potential to do and fall into sins. يعني كغيرهم من البشر, as in like others among human beings, in this regard. لكن يمتازون عن غيرهم بما قال المؤلف رحمه الله. But they are special. They differ from others. وعليكم السلام. They differ from others in which regard the author mentioned. ولهم من السوابق والفضائل ما يوجب مغفرة ما يصدر منهم إن صدر. Who can translate that? Just, you know, give it a shot. You can, you know, work on your translating skills. It's a good paying job, by the way. Make good money, mashallah.
They would be forgiven because of certain distinctive qualities that they or the statements that were given to them. And so,
like, statements that were given to them?
Or the, like, you know, the statements in terms of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like, you know, told the
Ashraf al-Bashra
that they are in
jail. Okay.
And also...
Like, wait a second. What is
sawabiq? Sawabiq, what has happened in the...
From sabaqa. Or yasbiq, yani something which preceded something. So they have past actions, past, you know, endeavors. Aywa, wal fada'il.
Virtues.
Ma yujibu maghfira.
Which
necessitates the forgiveness of whatever comes out of them, if it does come out. Anything which they may fall into, if they fall into it, their previous good deeds and the virtues they have will wipe them out. Will wipe them out. Yani someone who's done so good, you know, if he makes a single mistake, a minor, even if it's a major mistake, you cannot undermine or you cannot disregard all of his past and all the good which he has done in the past. It's not fair. It is not fair. And very often the many good he has done will make that little mistake or that even big mistake nothing. It will be forgotten historically because of the good which he has left behind. So, you know, this is a manhaj. وَهَذَا مِنَ الْأَسْبَابِ الَّتِي يَمْحُوا اللَّهُ بِهَا عَنْهُمْ مَا فَعَلُوهُ مِنَ الصَّغَائِرِ وَالْكَبَائِرِ. This is among the means which Allah uses to forgive what has happened or occurred from them in terms of the minor and the major sins. وهو ما له من السوابق والفضائل التي لم يلحقهم فيها أحد. The past endeavors and the virtues which they have that none has been able to even compete with them on. No one can come close to the Sahaba in this regard. فهم نصروا النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. They aided the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. وجاهدوا بأموالهم وأنفسهم. And they fought and struggled with their wealth and their themselves. وبذلوا, and they spent رقابهم لإعلاء كلمة الله. They spent their own necks for the word of Allah to be most supreme. فهذه توجب مغفرة ما صدر منهم. This necessitates the forgiveness of whatever else that might have happened from them. ولو كان من أعظم الذنوب, even if it is among the most major of sins, إذا لم يصل إلى الكفر, unless if it, as long as it doesn't reach the state of disbelief. So any major sin will be nothing in there. Like they say, it's just a drop in the ocean. It's nothing. It's nothing in terms of the goodness which they have put forth, radiallahu anhum wa ardahum. وَمِنْ ذَلِكَ قِصَّةُ حَاطِبْ بِنْ أَبِي بَلْتَعَ حين أرسل إلى قريش يخبرهم عن مسير النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إليهم. A classical example, or a classic example, would be the story of Hatib, who actually sent news, treason, if we would call it, informing the Quraysh that the Prophet ﷺ was in the process of actually marching towards them. حَتَّى أَطْلَعَ اللَّهُ نَبِيَّهُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ, until Allah informed this Prophet that this is what Hatib has done. فَلَمْ يَصِلْهُمُ الْخَبَرُ. So the news never reached them, because Allah informed the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم ahead of time. فَاسْتَأْذَنَ عُمَرُ النَّبِيَّ صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يضرب عنق حاطب. عمر, you know, عمر رضي الله عنه وارضاه, didn't play games. But he asked the permission to strike his neck, because this is major treachery. I mean, you're ruining the plan of the Muslims, the whole plan and the plot of the Muslims against the kuffar. So that wasn't really يعني, cool, as they say. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Now listen to the instructions here. إنه شهد بدرا وما يدريك. He witnessed Badr, and what do you know? لعل الله اطلع على أهل بدر. Perhaps Allah looked at the people of Badr and He said, فقال اعملوا ما شئتم فقد غفرت لكم. Do whatever you want, I have forgiven you. That was the answer of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. Even though this was major, he witnessed Badr, and because of that, خلاص. So he did not allow Umar رضي الله عنه to strike his neck. قولوا حتى إنه يغفر لهم من السيئات ما لا يغفر لمن بعدهم. In fact, they have the privilege to have sins for them forgiven, which does not happen to a people after them. No sins like that will be forgiven for those who follow them. لأن لهم من الحسنات التي تمحو السيئات ما ليس لمن بعدهم. The amount of good deeds they have, which can erase bad deeds, they have these good deeds which no one shares with them. The amount of good deeds the Sahaba have, way beyond imagination. Why? Because everything you know of the deen was conveyed through them. So everything we act upon, they will have a reward. They will have a share of the ajr. So no matter what you do, even if you get a million good deeds because of your good, they will get the million good deeds along with yours, besides their good deeds. There is no escape. يعني. The more we increase, they will increase simultaneously. It's not like you can go like this. You go up and then they go up. And you go up and they go up. So khalas, they beat you, done deal. So now the amount of good deeds they have will definitely wipe out these bad deeds. Because Allah says, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُثِبْنَا السَّيِّئَاتِ. The good deeds wipe out and erase the bad deeds. وَقَدْ ثَبَتَ بِقَوْلِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَنَّهُمْ خَيْرَ الْقُرُونِ. And it has been established that the Prophet ﷺ said they are the best of generations. وَأَنَّ الْمُدَّ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمْ إِذَا تَصَدَّقَ بِهِ. And that even the mud, which as we said is 0.75 liters. In fact, it mentions نصف نصيفه, half of that, 0.30 something liters. If he gives it in صدقة, فَكَانَ أَفْضَلِ مِنْ جَبَلِ أُحُدْ ذَهَبًا مِمَّنْ بَعْدَهُمْ. It's better than the mountain of Uhud in gold for anyone who comes after them. وذلك في قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم خير الناس قرني. The Prophet ﷺ said, the best of people is my generation. وفي قوله لا تسبوا أصحابي. And in the statement, do not verbally abuse my Sahaba. لو أن والذي نفسي فوالذي نفسي بيده لو أنفق أحدكم مثل أحد أحد ذهبا ما بلغ مد أحدهم ولا نصيفة. If one of you, by the one in whose hand is my soul, if one of you were to spend the equivalent of the mountain of Uhud in gold, it would not be equal to the mud of one of them, or not even its half. قَوْلُهُ ثُمَّ إِذَا كَانَ قَدْ صَدْرَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمْ ذَمْ فَيَكُولُ قَدْ تَابَ مِنْ. Furthermore, if one of them did commit a sin, he has repented from it. The same way you can commit a major sin and repent. When you repent, are you still accountable for that sin? No. If one of us committed a major sin and he repented to Allah and it's a sincere tawbah, Allah will wipe out that sin. يعني you could have been the most wicked person in the world. If you change your ways, Allah will wipe it all out. In fact, يُبَدِّلُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتِ. Allah will replace them with good deeds. So what's up? What's up? If this is a privilege we regular people get, what do you think the Sahaba? If one of them fell into sin, he has so many good deeds that will wipe it out. Then he can do tawbah, which will wipe it out. Then his virtues before will wipe it out. Then his previous endeavors will wipe it out. Everything is there to wipe it out. He's mujtahid, it will also, يعني, khalas, man. For someone to insist that this, you know, against the Sahaba is someone who's wicked and his heart is busted. That's what it is. يعني إذا تاب منه, if he repents from that sin, ارتفع عنه, it will be lifted off of him. وباله ومعرته. The consequence and the humiliation associated with that sin, which is supposed to afflict that person, will be removed when they repent to Allah. لقوله تعالى, because Allah said, والذين لا يدعون مع الله إلها آخر ولا يقتلون النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق ولا يزنون وما يفعل ذلك يلقى أثاما يضاعف له العذاب يوم القيامة ويخلد فيه مهانا إلا من تاب وآمن وعمل عملا صالحا فأولئك يبدل الله سيئاتهم حسنات وكان الله غفورا رحيما. And those who do not call besides Allah any other gods, nor do they kill the soul which Allah has made prohibited except with a just cause, nor do they commit zina, and whosoever does so, he shall get the punishment. It will be multiplied for him, but he didn't quote this ayah. At the end, Allah said, except the one who repents, believes, and does righteousness, it is those whom Allah will replace their evil deeds with good deeds. And ever is Allah most forgiving, most merciful. وَمَنْ تَابَ مِنَ الذَّنْبِ كَمَنْ لَا ذَنْبَ لَهُ. And the hadith says, the one who repents from a sin is equal to the one who is sinless. One who repents from sin is equal to one who is sinless. They're the same. The one who didn't commit the sin and the one who committed the sin and repented from it, they're equal in this regard. Both are not accountable. Of course, they're not equal. Maybe the one who didn't commit the sin is more beloved to Allah. More beloved to Allah because he didn't even approach the violations. But when the one repents and the one who didn't do at this stage, in terms of them being liable, they're both the same. They're both the same. فَلَا يُؤَثِّرْ عَلَيْهِ. It doesn't affect him. قَوْلُهُ أَوْ أَتَى بِحَسَنَاتٍ تَمْحُهُ. Or maybe the Sahabi brought about good deeds which erased the bad deeds. لِقَوْلِ تَعَالَ إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. The good deeds erased the bad deeds, as Allah said in Surah Hud, Ayah 114. قَوْلُهُ أَوْ غُفِرَ لَهُ بِفَضْلِ سَابِقَتِهِ. Or he may be forgiven because of a prior or past good deed, a past action. لقوله تعالى في الحديث القدسي في أهل بدر اعملوا ما شئتم فقد غفرت لكم. This is based on the hadith Qudsi in regards to the people of Badr, wherein Allah said, do whatever you will, I have forgiven you. قوله أو بشفاعة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم الذي هم أحق الناس بشفاعته. Or that could be through the intercession of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And they were the most deserving, the most entitled people to receive the shafa'ah of the Prophet ﷺ because they are his ashab. They are his companions. So they are the most entitled. وَقَدْ سَبَقَ أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَشْفَعُ فِي أُمَّتِهِ وَالصَّحَابَةُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ أَحَقُّ النَّاسِ فِي ذَلِكَ. It has already been established in previous lessons that the Prophet ﷺ will intercede for his ummah, and the sahaba are the most entitled people to that intercession. قوله أو ابتلي ببلاء في الدنيا كفر به عنه. Or he may be have been afflicted with some calamity in the dunya, which was means for that sin to be expiated. As you all know, the musibah which befalls one of us, the believer, it's means for the sins to be expiated. فإن البلاء في الدنيا يكفر الله به يكفر الله به سيئات. The calamities which befall the person in the dunya, Allah uses them as means to expiate the sins. كما أخبر بذلك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في قوله ما من مسلم يصيبه أذى من مرض فما سواه إلا حط الله به سيئاته كما تحط الشجرة ورقها. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, there isn't a Muslim who is afflicted with any harm, be it sickness or anything other than that, except that Allah will shed his sins the same way the tree sheds its leaves. Just drop them. خلاص, they're gone. And والأحاديث في هذا مشهورة كثيرة. The narrations in this regard are abundant. Ample evidences that the calamities are means of expiating the sins. If you want more on that, you can listen to the lecture on YouTube, answering Bart Ehrman, Why We Suffer. Because there this concept of why we suffer has been detailed in the lecture. It's on YouTube. You can check it out yourself, inshallah. قوله فإذا كان هذا في الذنوب المحققة فكيف الأمور التي كانوا فيها مجتهدين. Look, if all of these options are available for the one assuming that the sin was deliberate and not based on ijtihad and ta'wil, then what about when we know that also on top of that it was a matter of ijtihad? Yani, if there was no shiad and ta'wil, if it was plain, deliberate sin, they still have all these things which will save them. Then how do we look at it when we know that it's not only that, but it was matter of ijtihad? Yani, khalas, it's a done deal. In asabu falahum ajran, wa in akhtau falahum ajr wahid. If they get it right, two rewards. If they get it wrong, one reward. Wal khata'u maghfur, and the wrong is forgiven. Wa sabaqa dalilu, the evidence has been mentioned earlier. فتكون هذه من باب أولى إلا ألا تكون سببا لا تكون سببا للقطع فيهم والعيب. So this will become more of a reason to understand that they have this privilege, and it should not be a reason for us to belittle them or to speak ill about them or to defame them. فهذه الأسباب التي ذكرها المؤلف رحمه الله ترفع القدح في الصحابة. These reasons which the author quoted, rahimahullah, they are means of removing or preventing anyone from speaking ill about them. Speaking ill about them. And they are of two kinds. قسمان. وهي قسمان. الأول خاص بهم. First, the reason behind it is specific to them. وهو ما لهم من السوابق والفضائل. The things which they the Sahaba have in terms of their past endeavors and their virtues. وثاني عام. And the other one is general. It applies to the Sahaba and all the Muslims, all the believers. وهي التوبة, like repentance. والحسنات الماحية, the good deeds which erase the bad deeds. وشفاعة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, the intercession of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. والبلاء, calamities. These they share with others. So they share these four with the rest of the believers, and they have فضائل and سوابق, which give them a special privilege. Subhanallah. قوله ثم إن القدر الذي ينكر من فعل بعضهم قليل نزر مغمور في جنب الفضائل القوم ومحاسنهم في جنب فضائل القوم ومحاسنهم. Furthermore, the amount of things which we may speak about that were erroneous are insignificant. They're hidden. They're lost in the sea of goodness which they were, you know, in favor of, or which they were known for. Yeah, any little bits and pieces here and there is nothing worth mentioning. القدر الذي ينكر من فعل بعضهم قليل جدا نزر أقل القليل ولذا قال مغمور في جنب فضائل القوم ومحاسنهم ولا شك أنه حصل من بعدهم سرقة. No doubt, some of them committed theft. وشرب خمر. Remember the one who used to drink alcohol, and they lashed him. وقذف. What is قذف? Slander. Specifically, what kind of slander? Because slander is a general English word that has multiple meanings. But Islamically, what does slander mean? Great da'wah skills, brothers. Yes. You know, is it the shimagh, ya sheikh, or what's up, mashallah, today? You feel like a sheikh today, huh? And I'm the bold one. It's working the other way around. Maybe I need to put one too. The idea is, yes, the first kind of slander is accusing chaste women of zina. Okay? Qadf. Qadf al-muhsanat al-ghafilat al-mu'minat. It's one of the actual seven grave sins. اجتنبوا سبع الموبقات, صحيح? One of them is that one. And slander also means simply accusing a Muslim, like in the hadith of ghiba. He said, do you know what ghiba? They said, Allah and His Messenger know best. He said, to mention about your brother that which he dislikes. They said, what if it was in him? He said, if it was in him, then you have done ghiba. If it's not in him, then you have slandered him. So then to accuse him of something he is free of. Now of course, you know, there are exceptions to the rule of backbiting. It does not work across the board. There are times when it is obligatory to, we cannot even call it backbiting anymore. But it's obligatory to mention individuals by name, by specific information to protect the Muslims and their deen. And anyone who denies or doubts that must study Islam from scratch. Must study Islam from scratch because he doesn't really understand Islam. And this happens often by laymen among the Muslims who don't know any better. And they exaggerate. And they say that, you know, why are you speaking about fulan and fulan? And all he does, according to them, all I do is speak about people. And this is on the forums. Go to the Muslim forums. The people say, he's a Salafi from London. Salafi from London. Okay? And all he does is speak about people. Now I tell him, watch my lectures. Watch my lectures and count how many people I've spoken about and in what lectures. And tell me whether this is all I speak about. Where were you when you spoke about the conditions of La ilaha illallah and the conditions of Muhammad Rasulullah, this description of Jannah, description of Nar, the grave, the Sahaba? That we spoke about, you know, tens and tens of subjects. Only when we got to music and Nasheed, we had to speak about these people. When we got to the Sufis, we had to speak about these people. When we got to the Shia, we didn't even mention anyone except the Shia at large. And when we got to the signs of the last day, Imran Hussein, people, you can count them on the finger, and we only spoke in regards to that problem. We didn't go expose their lifestyle. We mentioned in this area, this is an individual that you have to be careful of. So people lie and exaggerate, and it's a form of slander. And they think that you shouldn't mention the person at all. No, at times it is necessary to mention. Imam al-Nawawi in his book, Riyadu Salihin, has a chapter on ghiba, and he mentions the six exceptions of ghiba. Six exceptions. Wherein you're not doing ghiba. If someone comes and asks you, I want to give my daughter in marriage to Fulan. You have to tell him everything you know about this guy. He prays Fajr once a week. I saw him throw trash, you know, on the street. He didn't put it in the dumpster. I saw him smoke a cigarette the other day. You know, I did business with him and he cheated me. You have to tell him. And if you don't, you are sinful. Because you have betrayed your brother and you were not truthful, you weren't sincere in your advice. It becomes obligatory to enumerate this person's mistakes. Not because you enjoy it. You have to not watch your niyyah, but because you really want to protect him from the potential harm. This is one of the exceptions of ghiba. People don't know that, but they have to know that. And also warning the Muslims against people who may harm their religious understanding and so on and so forth. Ala kulli hal, Allah al-musta'an. نعم وقذف وزنا بإحصان وزنا بغير إحصان. يعني some of them committed zina while being married and some of them while not being married, and the punishment is different. لكن كل هذه الأشياء تكون مغمورة في جنب فضائل القوم ومحاسنهم. All this is insignificant when we compare to the righteousness and the virtues of these people. The goodness, the excellence of these people, these little things become nothing. وَبَعْضُهَا أُقِيمَ فِيهَا الْحُدُودُ فَيَكُونَ كَفَّرًا. And some of them, the actual execution or the penal code was executed against them, and that is means of their sin to be expiated. يعني the one who committed zina and was stoned to death, that stoned to death wiped out that sin. So there's nothing against them which is actually left. Then, inshallah, we will deal bi-idhnillahi azza wa jal next week with the some of the things which were famous. They were famous for the Sahaba. The things were famous for, and believe it or not, we will be finishing off, inshallah, next week this chapter, and we'll be beginning with a very, very sensitive subject matter that the Sufis love, karamatul awliya. Yes. What do we Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah believe in regards to that? Very exciting information to come. So inshallah, we ask Allah to enable us to cover it and discuss it accordingly. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Inshallah, this coming Monday, the lecture...